Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Today is Saturday, the 19th of February, 2022, and it's the 18th day of the Hebrew month called Adar 1, and it's Shabbat Ki Tisa, which means when you take up. And usually these Torah portions, the names come from the very first few words within the first chapter of the Torah portion. So within the very first few verses of the Torah portion, you will see the word Ki Tisa in the Hebrew Bible. And that word translates as when you take up. So as we have been looking at chapter 30 of Exodus, in Hebrew, Exodus is, the book of Exodus is called Shemot, which means names. But for some reason, when translating to English, they decided to call it Exodus. So it's like in English, the journey is more important. But in Hebrew, the names are more important because Shemot means names. For one name, singular is Shem. And then plural is Shemot. So as we said a number of things in the previous audio, but let me not repeat them. Let's keep moving on. So we were just saying here that the perfume, you know, the incense that you use to enter the Holy of Holies is mentioned here. The Lord spells out how he wants us to make it. And he says that we dare not use that formula to make perfumes to use on our bodies or for any other purpose. That is a special anointing oil. It's a perfume specifically for his presence, you know. And it's let's just put it this way, the tabernacle of Moshe, or the tent of Moshe, the tent of meeting with the Yahweh, is a testimony, a testimony of Yahweh's goodness to us. Yeah, it's also a testimony of Yahweh's presence amongst Israel. It's a testimony of Yahweh's existence. It's a testimony of Israel's God. So it can also be a testimony in a negative form if we don't obey the will of Yah. So everything within the tent or the of meeting, Yahweh, or the tabernacle of Moshe, the Mishkan, is a testimony. So in other words, you can call it the tabernacle of testimony or the tent of testimony, because it's a testimony of Yahweh and a testimony of Israel. And to this day, it is a major foundation of our worship unto Yahweh. Most churches try to emulate the way the tabernacle is built in their building forms. So the Catholics copied a lot of this, and you know, they use it to deceive people, like all the incense they use, they claim that is incense, it's all satanic. Even the ingredients they use are from the pits of hell. So this perfume that Yahweh told Moshe has to be made to be used to enter into the Holy of Holies must never be copied and used anywhere else, or else the judgment of Yahweh will come down on those people who choose to do that, who choose to use that perfume in other ways. Now, Yahweh continues to give instructions on how things are going to be done in the tabernacle. He talks about the utensils, the lampstand, the menorah, and other accessories that are going to be used in the tabernacle. And he says these instruments will be sanctified before they are placed in the tabernacle. So they will be made holy, and whatever touches them shall be made holy. That's verse 29 of chapter 30 of Exodus. So he says afterwards that the Moshe is to anoint Aaron. I know the Bible says it's Aaron, but his original name, which is in the Hebrew language, is Aharon. He was born during a time of great persecution of Israel in Egypt. So that's where his name, his name is associated with that persecution. So Moshe says that, no, Yahweh says Moshe is to anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them that they may minister to Yahweh in the priest's office. So you remember that Moshe was going to be a priest, yeah, and Aaron was going to be a Levite, but Yahweh switched things because of Moshe's delay in agreeing to deliver the children of Israel out of the Holy Land. So God swapped things and he made Aaron and his lineage to become the priests while Moshe was just an ordinary Levite. So this is one of the reasons why Moshe's children did not get any inheritance from Yahweh. Now, you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, and do not make any like it according to its composition. It is holy. So you can see that it says, it shall not be poured on any man's flesh, and do not make any like it according to its composition. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a stranger, he shall be cut off from his people. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, and do not make any like it according to its composition. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, and do not make any like it according to its composition. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a stranger, he shall be cut off from his people. So the Lord is very clear on that. And then the Lord gives more instructions about the perfume. The incense which you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be to you holy for Yahweh. Whoever shall make any like that to smell of it, he shall be cut off from it. So he repeats himself concerning this issue. He, you know, tells us the ingredients and the weights and how to put it together. And then he repeats what he just said before. So this is a very serious matter. We are not to take it lightly. The incense that we present to Yahweh, if we decide to create a tabernacle like that of Moses, has to be specific. And the word incense I find interesting because I think it's sort of mentioned in other scriptures like Psalm 100. You know, it says that I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that Yah has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that Yah has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has set me free. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has set me free. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that he has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has set me free. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has set me free. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen in Yahushua's name. Hallelujah. So, in essence, that's what Psalm 100 is about. The incense that, you know, was offered unto Yahweh. Just, you know, basically when you're standing at the table of incense and just before the curtain or the veil that separates the holy place, which is the middle section of the tabernacle of Moshe, from the Holy of Holies or the holiest place. So, that Psalm 100 is powerful. Moving on to Exodus 31. I'm really trying my best to get through this quickly. And this is one of the reasons doing audios can be quite taxing, because I sometimes hope I'll just do a quick audio, but then I find myself having to, you know, need to explain quite a bit. So in chapter 31 of Exodus, we see the introduction of somebody called Bezalel. Bezalel is a very special person to the Most High Yahweh. You know, when Yahweh was creating we human beings and putting them inside Adam, you know, before sending us to the earth, he assigned different roles to each and every one of us. And Bezalel's role or reason for existence was to make every instrument required for the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of Moshe. Now, Bezalel is the son of... Sorry about that, brethren. I had to pause and attend to my son. I don't remember where I stopped, but I'll try and pick up. Okay, I think I was talking about Bezalel. Bezalel is the son of, it says here in Exodus 31, he's the son of Uri, and the son who was Uri is the son of Hur from the tribe of Yehuda, Judah. Now, so Bezalel is from the tribe of Judah or Yehuda, but one thing I've come to understand is that Hur is the son of Miriam. Miriam is a Levite, so I think what's happening here is that the person that Miriam married is from the tribe of Judah. That's what I'm beginning to understand. Maybe that's why this is what happened. You know, this happened like this. But it's something I still need to figure out. But the Lord has made it clear in other scriptures that Hur was given birth to by Miriam, and as we saw in Exodus 17, he supported Moshe during the battle against the Amalekites. So Aharon and Hur went up the hill with Moshe and helped Moshe to keep his hands in the air, so that while Yahushua, the son of Nun, who is also known as Joshua, could win that battle with the whatever Israelite men had been selected to fight against the Amalekites. Because whenever Moshe put his hands down, they lost the battle. Whenever he put his hands up, they won the battle. So Hur is very highly significant because it's from the lineage of Miriam, and Miriam is a very important person in the history of Israel. She even had a well named after her. She was a prophet of the Most High God, and so was Moshe, while Aharon was called to be a priest. But Aharon was also a prophet in a way, because the high priest, whatever they spoke just goes. It was very important not to upset them or to dishonor them or disrespect them, because they were a representative of God amongst Israel. So if you attacked them or tried to do anything against them, the judgment of the Lord would come immediately. No wasting time. And because these three, Miriam, Aharon, and Moshe, were selected to be part of the Israeli deliverance from bondage, they form that foundation of the deliverance as the Levites. You know, they're from the Levite tribe, and Levi was a very special person as well. So if anybody tried anything against them, those people were they were in trouble with the Lord. But also likewise, because Miriam, Aharon, and Moshe were important people, they too needed to leave a good example. They needed to show good example to Israel. So what Miriam did later on by speaking against Moshe's wife was very wrong, and that's why she was heavily punished with the leprosy, which I'm told lasted quite a while. And it did affect her beauty. But the Lord restored her. She repented and the Lord restored her. She even looked much younger by the time the sickness had gone away. So that's Bezalel. Bezalel is the grandson, or should I say great-grandson of Miriam. And he was given the understanding of how to do what he was meant to do, which means he must have got visions of what the tabernacle of Moses looked like and what was expected to be in that tabernacle. He was given Oholiab, who was the son of Ahisamach from the tribe of Dan, to help him in the building of the tent of meeting or the tabernacle of Moshe. So they both had various assignments given to them in relation to this work, and they did it perfectly well. Now the details of what happened, of how they built these things, is given in the legends of the Jews. Some mistakes were made in the process and things had to be redone a few times. But a lot of help was rendered, because things had to be done exactly to the letter as the Lord had, you know, given, as Yahweh had laid out in his instructions. So if there's anything that was maybe 1 inch less or a certain measure of weight less, they had to fix it and make it to be exactly that. And this also points to, is related to the issue of grace, because, you know, we Christians, we like to take things for granted so much, claiming that the grace of Yahweh is there to cover us. But you can see that Yahweh is the kind of person who likes things to be done to the letter. And if we don't do things to the letter, that's when we get into trouble with him. This is why some people are failing to understand the end time instructions he's giving us in relation to our ways of life. Particularly for the bride of Yahusha, because the bride of Yahusha will be raptured. So those ones have to be a good example to the rest. So things like the dress you wear has to, you know, no pleats, no, I've forgotten what they call them. It has to be long to the ankles, long sleeved, it preferably white, though, you know, you can get away with blue, but the Lord prefers white only. So he has given specific instructions on how we're supposed to dress. For example, how we're supposed to eat, how we're supposed to sleep, how we're supposed to have sex as married couples, how we're supposed to raise our children. He has given us instructions on how he wants us to bathe, how he wants us to wash our clothes, how he wants us to lay our beds, decorate our homes or design our homes, even build our homes. He has given us instructions on how he wants us to cook, what he wants us to cook. Every area of our lives has been touched. It's just a matter of desiring the will of Yah. It's not easy. Nothing is easy in this world. But that is the will of the Most High God for our lives. And the bride of Yahushua are expected to do all this more than anybody else. Because God knows, Yahweh knows that the rest of the bride, the rest of the body of Yahushua will not have the understanding of these things. And they will not be able to, you know, want to practice them until maybe after they've been left behind, but if they ever knew about them. But the bride of Yahushua have a very high, there's a very high expectation of them, which is that they have to do these things so that they can be spotless and without wrinkle, as Ephesians 5:27 says, by the time Yahushua HaMashiach comes back for them. So Yahweh is the past, is the kind of God, the kind of person who gives instructions to the letter, and the instructions are to be followed exactly to the letter. The tabernacle had to be built exactly as it is patterned in the heavens. Right, I'm going to stop here for now. Chapter 31, the next verses talk about the Sabbaths. But I'm going to stop here for now because I don't want the audio to go into close to the limit time. So Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Remain blessed. We'll continue in the next audio.